All right, you got sound? Good, all right. All right, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Tonight, I want to deal with our bodies. Okay, everybody here knows that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body, right? And that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. All right. So tonight I want to deal talking about our bodies. And what role our bodies play, because if we don't understand what role our bodies play, then we'll constantly be beating it down in the wrong way. All right, let's go to before you go to 1 Corinthians, go to Genesis, so I can show you how important your body is and what part your body plays. Genesis, the 2nd chapter, rather. Genesis 2. Genesis 2. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, right? And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became what? A living soul. So we see God formed man from the dust of the ground. I mean, he formed our bodies from the dust of the ground. And watch, he breathed into man. They got different theologians, different people want to explain how that happened. But here's what you need to understand. That God breathed his actual self into us. That's why the body came to life. So if that's the case, then your body need to be seen as a carrier of the supernatural. All right. So my body is a carrier. Listen to me, Internet. My body is a carrier of the presence of God. All right. So what Adam and Eve did was, when they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they gave the body, through the soul, more power than it was more power than it needed to have. So that's why we're more body conscious than spirit conscious. See? But the true purpose of your body is to house the presence of God. It's the true purpose of your body. Because God didn't form nothing else and breathe in it. I'm talking about mankind, is the only entity that God formed from the dust of the earth and breathed life into it. And the Bible says man became a living soul. Or a living, thinking, acting soul. So that means our body is a carrier of the presence of God. And so when Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve ate off the tree, what they're really saying is, we don't want to play by the rules of the person who created us. We won't play by our own rules. And so that's why the body now had to become, the mind and the body without God had now had to figure things out. So that's why we have, that's why a lot of times we're appetite driven. A lot of times we are thought process driven. That's why we, our thoughts, thoughts being our environment. Remember last week, our environment drives how we behave. Our environment drives how we think. We do things based on how we feel. Because of what Adam and Eve did by eating off the tree. The original intent of our body is to carry the presence of God. That was the original intent of our body. So therefore, that's so now we understand why Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. Because the original intent was to be a carrier of the presence of God. So now, if I am a carrier of the presence of God, listen to me a minute. If I'm a carrier, if my body is a carrier of the presence of God, that means that through me, heaven invades earth. You got me? Heaven invades earth through me. This is why Jesus died on the cross for our sins, so that we can be back in righteousness. Righteousness is not just in right standing with God. Why am I in right standing with God? Or why am right? Another way to think of righteousness is I'm aligned with God. Why am I aligned with God? So that God can flow through me into the earth realm. Is that making sense? So you remember last year we started talking about self-centric and God-centric? See, if we just look at righteousness, if we just look at righteousness from a self-centric point of view, it's just me. I'm just trying to live right. I'm just trying to live right. I'm living right. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God. Okay, why are you the righteousness of God? Why? Why? For what reason are you the righteousness of God? It can't be just to get to heaven. Because if that's so, why are you still here? So I am the righteousness of God. I am in right standing with God. I am aligned with God so that God can flow through me into the earth realm. That means God has to flow through my mind, from my spirit, to my mind, through my body with my actions. So that's why sin stops us from displaying the presence of God. Sin doesn't stop us from carrying the presence of God. Sin stops us from displaying the presence of God. That's why you have Christians that are carnal minded. Christians that can sin so easily. Because they don't know the original purpose of their body. 1 Corinthians 6 chapter. 1 Corinthians 6 chapter. First Corinthians 6 chapter. Verse 19, verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. Now watch what the Apostle Paul says. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the of who? Which is in you. That's the presence of God. Which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Verse 20, For ye are what? Bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Paul, Apostle Paul, saying, what? Y'all don't understand? Don't treat your body like this. Because, and see, the reason why I'm emphasizing this is because from a religious standpoint, we were taught to beat our bodies into subjection. The body ain't nothing. That flesh ain't no good. By itself, you leave your body unattended, you'll do anything. You leave your body unattended, and it will do anything. You leave your body unattended, and it's going to forget the environment, forget the thoughts. It's going to go straight to feeling. Are you seeing this? Go with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. The 27th verse. Look what the Apostle Paul says. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Notice what he said, but I, not God, I keep my body and bring it under subjection. So now, if the Apostle Paul says, I bring my body, I keep my body and bring it under subjection. Apostle Paul says, I. So that means that statement, the devil made me do it, is out the window. Go back to Genesis. Genesis, the 3rd chapter now. Genesis, the 3rd chapter. Let's start at verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man, watch this now. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. All right, verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, now watch this. The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, if Eve's actions were to be blamed on the devil, then a just God, listen to me now, then a just God would have stopped there. If God is just, you're saying, if God is just. If the devil is the total blame for what happened, then a just God would have stayed there. He wouldn't have went no further. But that ain't where he stopped. Verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And so if it was the woman's fault, if it was the devil and the woman's fault, a just God would have stopped there. But that ain't where he stopped. Watch this. He said, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So wait a minute now. This is what makes 1 Corinthians 9:27 so significant. When Paul said, I keep my body. I bring it under subjection. Because here it is, with the very first instance of sin, they're trying to blame somebody else. So this is why Paul is so emphatic about I keep. Now, watch this. Watch this now. Watch this. Go to Matthew's the fourth chapter. Go to Matthew's fourth chapter. Now, all of these excuses that we have built-in excuses about the body, Jesus eliminated them. Watch this. Jesus eliminated them. All right. Jesus eliminated them. When it comes, especially, and I love this passage of scripture because this passage deals with the body. Matthew's the fourth chapter, the first verse. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. Who led him? Up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So now we get ready to recreate Genesis. Listen a minute, we're getting ready to recreate Genesis. We're finna get ready to recreate Genesis, the third chapter, verses 1-9, I believe it is. We're getting ready to recreate it. Matter of fact, the Spirit say, me just driving Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. Look at verse 2. And we had what? Fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was afterwards and hungered. So now I see people have made fasting a religion. Right? But there's only one purpose for fasting. That's if your body is out of control. But if I keep, there's no reason to keep beating on something I can keep. All right. Give you an example. Now, how many of you have dogs? Anybody got dogs? All right, I'm not going to ask you if your dog is crazy or not, but you've seen crazy dogs. If you got a dog that just don't want to do what you say you want to do, what you want to do to it? You feed him until he understands you're going to do what I say do. You're going to have some type of discipline. Right? But then there are some people that have dogs. You see them walking. They're not even on leashes. They're walking, giving commands. Giving commands to the dog. Because why? The dog right here. So if, watch this now. Think about your body. If your body acts on your commands, why do you need to beat it? You don't need no. If the dog, remember now. Let's remember. Your spirit is the king. Your soul is the manager, and your body is the slave. Right? So if I got my body trained right, then I don't need to keep beating it. So if my body ever gets out of whack, then I need to break it down. But if I keep my body, I ain't got to worry about. Now, mind you now, if this dog that's obedient, if the trainer or the master does not constantly spend time with this dog is going to pick up his own traits. And so 2 or 3 weeks down the road, you hadn't walked with the dog, you hadn't spent time with the dog, you hadn't, you know, exercised with the dog, you haven't given the dog no commands, you ain't going to be able to expect to come out there and that dog's just going to follow your commands, because during the 3 weeks you were missing, the dog started picking up other things. That's why Paul said, I keep. This is a constant thing. I don't go a long time without disciplining myself. Is this making sense? See, we be trying to beat our bodies into subjection when Paul said, I keep my body and I bring it under subjection. Paul said, because I keep it on command, it will do what I say do. So here it is in verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. Now, this is important, because not only did the Spirit drive him into the wilderness, but now the Spirit led him to fast 40 days and 40 nights. So now his body is at his weakest point. His body is at his weakest point. Now, why does this have to happen? Because this, watch this. In Genesis, this is where Satan was able to trick Adam and Eve. Because all he did was tempt them. He didn't make them do anything. They decided to do this. But he tempted them. So what the Holy Spirit did is, if Jesus is going to redeem mankind from the curse of the law, I'm going to tie both hands around his back and put him in the most vulnerable position, just so Satan can realize how powerless he is. Then I'm going to turn around and give that power to his brothers and sisters in Christ. And when the tempter came, verse 3, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And when he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taking him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said, verse 7, and he said unto him, if it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil take him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Here it is. Jesus has just proven that you can keep your body, I can keep my body, and bring it under subjection even at its weakest moment. When the body is needing something, I can still withstand the temptations of the devil. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So now I have just given you a reason to eliminate all excuses of why you can't keep your body. Why you can't bring your body under subjection. Because remember now, watch this, here's another wonderful thing about the body. Another wonderful thing about about the body is the body gives you your ticket and your right to be here on earth. Because you cannot operate in the natural without your body. Because soon as you lose, soon as your spirit, soon as your body is no longer useful, your spirit leaves it. That's why Apostle is talking to us about health. You get me? Because once your body is no longer useful, your spirit will have to exit it. So your body gives you right to be here in the natural. That's why we cannot take our bodies lightly. All right? Romans, the 12th chapter. You close here. The best way to bring your body under subjection is you got to give your body discipline. Sometimes you have to give your body discipline. And watch this. I'm not talking about exercise. I'm not talking about exercise. That's part of it. But sometimes you don't want to sit and read because you want to do something else. That's your body. Matter of fact, that's a combination of your soul and your body. So you got to say, tell your body, no, you're going to sit here. And tell your mind, no, you're going to read. Are you seeing this? Romans, the 12th chapter. First verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Watch what it says. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What the Apostle Paul is saying is, Jesus has done everything needed to be done for you to do this. His death, burial, and resurrection gives you the power, gives you the ability and the power. You know a good definition of power? Good definition of power is the ability to complete a task despite all opposition. The ability to complete a task despite all opposition. That's what power means. Let's use it Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. He may establish his covenant that he swore unto his fathers. God has given us the ability to produce wealth despite all opposition. So we have the power to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what Jesus died on the cross for, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, meaning I'm here at your disposal, God. But I have to present my body. One of the first ways that you bring your body, one of the first ways you keep your body and bring it under subjection is to tell God, God, I'm here for you. My body is here for you. Help me. Help me. Now, that help is not going to do it for you. The help is not going to do it for you. John, the 14th chapter. There we go. John, the 14th chapter, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, this is Jesus talking, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Comforter, meaning the Holy Spirit, meaning the Greek word, meaning a helper. So how does the Holy Spirit help us. See, you have the power, the ability, but what sometimes what we need is help. How does the Holy Spirit help us? The Holy Spirit helps us with conviction. With conviction. Conviction. See, conviction is an important word. It's an important word. Conviction comes when the Holy Spirit tells us to do something that we weren't aiming to do. My mind was made up to do something else, but the Comforter comes in, who's my helper, comes in and convicts me. Matter of fact, conviction comes before and after sin. Conviction comes before and after. And if we let conviction linger too long, it becomes condemnation. Are you getting that? So our bodies, watch this, our bodies, don't ever think that you just fell in sin. No, every sin is planned. Even the ones by omission is planned. You just might not know it was. But you made up your mind, you're going to do this. Even those, you might not, because see, there are sometimes you make a mistake and don't realize it. That don't mean you ain't make your mind up to do it. So we're not off the hook either way. See, because watch this. If I'm off the hook for my actions, that means there's nothing I can do to correct my actions. So now if I'm off the hook for my actions, for my sins, that means I can't go to God and ask for forgiveness. Because it's no longer up to me. That's why I have to keep. So I decide early on to keep my body. What does keep mean? Keep means I'm preparing, I'm doing what it takes not to put myself in that position. I keep. I keep. If I know I'm prone to something, then I'm going to check my environment. If the Holy Spirit, I need help, and the Holy Spirit will help you, He'll remind you, you know, you don't do this. Don't look at this. Don't read this. Don't talk to this person. Because I want to keep the comfort that's there to help me keep. Because I have to present my body. Nobody else is going to present my body. I have to present my body as a living sacrifice. Holy and what? Acceptable to God. See, God won't ask us to do something that we can't do. See, if I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, that means I've been provided the ability to be holy and acceptable. It's just I got to decide that's what I want to do. Are you seeing this? So, stop looking at your body as the enemy. Your body is not the enemy. Your body without a renewed mind is the enemy. But if I renew my mind and I keep my body, if I keep walking the dog, if I keep giving the dog commands, that's discipline. Every now and then I make the dog do something that the dog know it should do, but it don't want to do. I'm going to make the dog. That's what fasting is. Fasting is, I'm not going to eat until I break this body down and ready to listen to my spirit through my soul. That's what fasting is about. But if I keep my body, I ain't got to beat it down. Is that making sense? So your body... what I'm saying is we have to train our bodies to work together with our spirit. not work against. Train our bodies to work with our spirit. Just like we got to train our mind to work with our spirit. Remember I told you last week that your soul is your spirit's sight into the natural? And that your spirit is your soul's sight into the supernatural. So when they cooperate together, you have access to both worlds, the unseen world and the seen world. And you make them work together and you can dominate the seen world. So your body has to fall in line. If I keep my body, listen to me, if I keep my body, I ain't got to keep breaking it down. If I'm disciplined, that's where we get the word disciple from the discipline. It took Peter a while to become a disciple because Peter was very undisciplined. But he eventually became disciplined and became one of the most prolific apostles in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul was disciplined. It just, he changed what his direction of his discipline and the energy of his discipline. But he was disciplined. Are you seeing this? So our body, our earth suit, is not to be our enemy. The Satan wants you to think he's your enemy, but it's not your enemy. It is a carrier of the presence of God. So if it's a carrier of the presence of God, I don't want to do anything to my body or with my body that will prohibit the presence of God from being released into the earth realm. Are you getting this? I'll see y'all next week.